Good morning. It's a great honour to be addressing the Crossroads Sidra again. What we'd like to do today is, as I believe the Olim used to every Friday, go a few points in the Parsha. Some will be mentioning the Pesukim, some will be underlying Parsha themes. Beginning of the Parsha speaks about the Machzis HaShekel. Now, there's a very big trend at the moment in the Olam HaTorah among many institutions, charities, that they're running big matching campaigns. Now, this week I attended a Joshua from Rabbi Deleib Wittler where he discussed the very first matching campaign that happened in the history of Klal Yisrael. Now, there's been various retlech that have been coming out as a result of the matching campaigns. One of them was right at the beginning of this week's parasha about the Machzis HaShekel, that why was the Machzis HaShekel only half a shekel? Because obviously the other half was matched. Rabbi Deleib mentioned a different word. He said that the very first matching campaign might possibly have been the Egel. It says when Klal Yisrael decided to do the Egel, and they wanted to put together the funds, all the gold that they required in order to make the Egel, it came together exceptionally fast. It came together very, very quickly. So in a very short time, they had all the money and all the gold together that they required in order to make the Egel. Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai, smashed the Luchos, and later on, as a kapara, the Ribbono Shel Olam said that they have to build the Mishkan. He says, you came and you did something. You gave money for an egel with such tremendous enthusiasm and with so much chias that I'm now requiring you to do the same for me. So, v'yikhu li truma. Now you did it for the egel. After that, do it for me. V'yikhu li truma. And we take another Klal Yisrael when it came to building the Mishkan. It says, the Moshe Rabbeinu asked them to bring together the money to build the Mishkan, the gold, silver, tcheles, vargomim, v'tulah, shani, whatever it was that Moshe Rabbeinu required, that Ribbono Shel Olam asked to build the Mishkan. And Klal Yisrael brought it together, baboker, baboker. So, I saw Ramban this morning. Ramban says, baboker, baboker, means that on the first day, they already had, within the first 24 hours, they'd already brought together all the money for the Mishkan. Within the first 24 hours, all the money for the Mishkan was already collected. Within a short 24-hour crowdfunding period, the money for the Mishkan had already been gathered. Baboike, baboike, the second morning, they were already going for the bonus round, they were already going for the extras, they were already going for the extra money that was beyond what was required for the actual Mishkan. Now, it's very interesting, and I'm adding to that, that perhaps this is the reason why we see that the Nasiim, which were taken to task, they were criticized for only bringing after the whole of Klal Yisrael had finished bringing all the Nedavos. As all the Nasiim had brought the Nedavos after the whole of Klal Yisrael was finished. What was the specific point of criticism? That makes a lot more sense now. This is because Ribbono Shel Olam had asked for the Mishkan to be built with the same chias and with the same geshmak that the people, that the Yidden had built the Egel. And it was that zrizus, that enthusiasm, that geshmak, that chias that the Ribbono Shel Olam was looking for. And it's very nice that the Nasiim ended up bringing their donations, but they missed the point. They missed the main point that Ribbono Shel Olam was trying to make, that same geshmak that you had by bringing the Egel, that same thing you have to apply to the Mishkan. So it was very nice that you did bring, but you were missing that chias, you were missing that geshmak. I would also like to add to that, maybe it could be that we know when Ribbono Shel Olam later on said after the tefillah of Moshe, after Moshe mentioned the Yud Gimel Midas and he'd asked for kapara for Klal Yisrael, and Ribbono Shel Olam had granted the kapara to Klal Yisrael. He said, Solachti kidvarecho, I forgive Klal Yisrael, I will not wipe them out. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, Mecheni no misifrach asher kosafta. And Ribbon Shlomim said that I'm being mechaper klal Yisrael. But after that, he said of Yurim Pokti Upokadati. The klal Yisrael will still have to have some consequences as a result of the Chet HaEgel. And in every dor, in every generation, there will be some form of a tzara, some form of tzara, some form of a kapor for klal Yisrael for the Chet HaEgel. And I was thinking to myself, over the past few weeks, there have been so many unbelievable campaigns. Just to mention a few, in London we had Shlomo made £3 million. Shon Besarotskin made nearly 50 million shekel. This week they had a campaign, the Ilu Nishmas Reb Shmuel Obach, 35 million shekel. And there's many, many campaigns running in Manchester in the future soon. There's loads and loads of campaigns going on which Klal Yisrael is responding to with tremendous generosity. In an unprecedented way. Maybe this Yom Pokti of Akadati, this little kapara, the Klal Yisrael showing, the Ribbono Shel Olam is asking for in our generation, is we can see Klal Yisrael stepping up to the plate and doing gewaldige, gewaldige effort to support Moisés HaTorah. That chias and that geshmak hopefully should be a kapara for, part of the kapara for the Chet HaEgel, perhaps we can say. Moving on to Pasuk Lamed, to Kapitel Lamed, Pasuk Beis. Another nice idea I saw B'Shem the Baal Shem Tov. It says, V'nosnu ish koi for nafshoi. V'nosnu ish koi for nafshoi. Every person should give koi for nafshoi, a replacement for his soul. The Baal Shem Tov says, very nice, shares a very nice idea, Ligabedis. Baal Shem Tov says the following. It says, there's a Gemara in Chulin, that Kuftes on the base. The Gemara in Chulin says the following. The Gemara in Chulin says that for every Issa that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave Klal Yisrael in the Torah, for every Issa that we have, there's also a Tzad Heter. There's also a Tzad where we can use that same Issa, experience the same Issa, the Heter. The Gemara goes through various examples. There's ways we can eat blood, kechal, liver, chaza. There's a certain fish that tastes like chaza. And the Gemara goes through different examples where we can experience an issa b'derech heta. Baal Shem adds, he asks a question. Where does Ribbono Shel Olam allow kfira? Where does Ribbono Shel Olam allow a person to be a kofer, to be an apikoros? And he says the following. Tachos, humorous way, he says that when a person is approached to donate money, when a person is approached by a charity collector, by an organization, then he's very likely to turn around to the person who's trying to solicit the funds. He's very likely to turn around and say, look, I'll give you something small, but the Meister, the Ribbono Shel Olam will look after you. You'll have a lot of siyata d'shmaya. Don't worry, it'll be okay. It says the Ribbono Shel Olam looks after people who look after Klal Yisrael, and he gives them lots of chizik. So Baal Shem Tov says, no, you're allowed to be a kofer. Says you're allowed to, that's the time you're allowed to be an apikoros. Don't start telling him that the Ribbono Shel Olam will look after. Don't start telling him to be a ma'amin now. The job is up to you. You have to look after him. That's where you step in. That's where you have to step up to the plate. That's where you have to do your part. So not only is kofer nafshoi, so Baal Shem Tov says, this, when a person comes to ask for tzedakah, that's where we're allowed to be a shtickle the kofer. That's where kfira comes in. B'mokim heta b'derech heta. That's where we're allowed to be a kofer and apikoros. Moving on to Pasuk Lamed Beis, Kapitel Lamed Beis, Pasuk Chavav. Kapitel Lamed Beis, Pasuk Chavav. Moshe Rabbeinu has just come down from Har Sinai. Sees Klal Yisrael serving the Egel, and he decides to break the luchos, to smash the luchos at that time. So when I was a little boy, I was 4 years old, my auntie in Switzerland got engaged. Now, I vividly remember the engagement was in my grandmother's house, and as I was 4 years old, I was going around having cream cake here, and a little biscuit there, and a bit of nash. And I remember Moshe Soloveitchik walking in, möchte so welche sehr gezahlt, ich hatte eine Woche lebt in Switzerland. And he walked into the engagement and I can't remember how exactly it happened, but I ended up sitting on his lap. I've still got a picture of me sitting on his lap, Moshe Soloveitchik's lap. And he asked me the following question. He asked me, what's your name? Yeah. So I told him, my name is Menachem Halevi Schleider. So he stopped for a few seconds and he thoughtfully responded. He said again, Menachem Halevi Schleider. Yes, Menachem Halevi. So he said, do you realize, you said you're a Levi. He says, I'm a Levi myself. Soloveitchik, I'm a Levi myself. Do you realize you don't get to say that your name is Menachem Halevi Schleider just like that? It's a big privilege, but at the same time, it's a big responsibility to be a Levi. You don't just get to say you're a Levi without accepting the responsibility that comes along with being a Levi at the same time. And he said, that was the end of the conversation. My father kept on repeating it to me throughout my life. Moshe Soloveitchik told you that being a Levi comes with great responsibility. And Reb Aaron Kotler, in this week's parsha, goes in slightly more into the detail what responsibility the Levim assumed after Matan Torah, after the Chet HaEgel. It says, what responsibility did the Levim assume? And it says, Reb Aaron Kotler, Mishnah, Reb Aaron says the following. It says, Shevet Levi stepped up to the plate for Moshe Rabbeinu, broke the luchas, and he said, Mila Hashem Elai, who's going to be part of the Ribbono Shel'olam's nation? Who's going to be coming and supporting the Ribbono Shel'olam in this inning? Who's going to be coming and defending the honor of Klal Yisrael? And Shevet Levi gathered. When Shevet Levi gathered, they went and Ivru Vashum Vabamachne, and they killed 3,000 Yidden. Rashi says, in Tzchar of that, Rashi brings down the Be'etzem, the Bechorim was supposed to be the one serving in the Beis HaMikdash on behalf of Klal Yisrael. And due to Shevet Levi stepping up to the plate, Shevet Levi took over. And they instead were the ones who served in the Beis HaMikdash on behalf of Klal Yisrael, the Kohanim and the Levim. Another Zchar, the Torah tells us, at the end of Sefer Dvarim in Zoyis HaBaracha, Moshe Rabbeinu says, O'im alo olim v'lo im alo yisif, v'es echov lo hikir v'es bonov lo yodo. The Levim did not differentiate between family members, children, parents, and other relations. They went and they killed Yidden indiscriminately, depending on the fact if they served the Egel. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Kishomrei Tzachov Rizchi in Tzayru, Yoyru Mishpatecho Le'yakev, they got the schus to become the teachers of Klal Yisrael. They had the schus for generations later to be the Melamdim in Klal Yisrael. That was the second schus. Thirdly, the Rambam mentions that the Sanhedrin should ideally include Kohanim and Levim as well. What a tremendous schar to get. What a tremendous reward that Shevet Levi received for doing that single one action. And Reb Aaron Kotler asks the question. He says, it's very strange. It doesn't seem to make so much sense that for something, one single action in history, for one single deed that Shevet Levi did, that they should receive something that seems to be such a disproportionate amount of schar, such a big amount of schar for one single action that they did at the time. Now, Aaron says the following. He says that there's a very significant point, that we have to mention here, and he says that the person who remains strong at the time when the community, when the general public is being misrashal in a particular issue, in a particular area, if everyone, the general community, is not dedicating themselves to Torah, and someone mamish takes the Torah seriously and he sits down and learns and he dedicates them despite the fact that no one's interested to Torah, which has been times in history like that. Whatever the examples are, there are many, many things that during the history of Klal Yisrael where the general community, Yidden, or even general society, have not been very good at, have not been adhering to in a very dedicated way, have been very lax on. And there's people who've been stark, people who've been strong and been dedicated to those issues. Those people receive a disproportionate amount of schar to what they usually would receive if they would have done those mitzvahs or refrained from doing avaris under similar circumstances. It says, because of the pressure of the society, it says the schar for doing the mitzvah gets magnified tremendously. Rabban adds to that, he brings down the Yerushalmi and Brachas, and he says, the schar that would be given to the friends and neighbors, to the other people who are lax in this mitzvah, or being over that veil, says the schar that they would be getting, says, would that schar, instead of going to those people, go to the person who's upholding this mitzvah, who's being make him as divrei HaTorah HaZois. And he says, for this reason, Shevet Levi, after Matan Torah, when they stepped up to the plate to Mila Shem Eli, and they did what they did, since there were only a minority in Klal Yisrael that stood up for the Ribono Shel, because they were the minority at the time, and the rest of Klal Yisrael were over, the rest of Klal Yisrael did not stand up for the Kavod of the Ribono Shel, Shevet Levi got the schar, not Klu schar keneged Kulam, they got the schar that all of them should have got. Says, that's why the schar of Shevet Levi was so great and was so big. But there's a tremendous, tremendous added idea here that I'd like to share. And I thought this was tremendously inspirational, very, very powerful. It says, we see that by Yeshua and Kalev, they went out as Meraglim together with the other 10 Meraglim to spy on Eretz Yisrael on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Now, when they came back, we all know they said Lashon Hara. We all know the story of Meraglim. Yeshua and Kalev were the only ones who came back and spoke positively about Eretz Yisrael. Now, interestingly enough, Yeshua and Kalev came back and they spoke positively about Eretz Yisrael. And when they did so, their schar, their reward, was equivalent. Or they got the reward, they got the portion in Eretz Yisrael that the other 10 Meraglim, that the other Meraglim would have gotten themselves. It says, the chilik in Eretz Yisrael that the other Meraglim would have received went to Yeshua and Kalev. So we see here that they got the reward that the other ones were supposed to get. Now, Rabbi Saul Weizmann asks on this, Baran Kav, the answer to follow. He says, why does Ribbono Shel Olam give reward, give schar in this way? Why does Ribbono Shel Olam give schar? It seems a bit, the more people that do the Avera, the more the people who didn't do the Avera will get schar. So I'm gaining from the fact, the more people are doing the Avera, the more people are being over, the bigger schar will get. He says, if 3 people would have not come back and spoken Lashon Hara on behalf of Eretz Yisrael, instead of Yeshua and Kalev getting the schar of 10 people, getting 5 extra portions each,
3.5.
Then 3 people, they would have split it up again evenly. They would have split it up again the same way. They would have split it up evenly among themselves. Why does it make sense that people should be getting the schar for the more people are being over there? And Rishon Reisman says the following. It's a gewaldig answer. I thought it was a tremendous insight. He says the following. He says that when someone is, as the Mishnah in Ovah says that from Tzara Argo, the more that someone is being mitzvah, the more that someone has difficulty to being over, has Hashem stop himself being over an Avera, or being mekayem a mitzvah, the more difficulty he has, the more tzchar he will get for being mekayem the mitzvah, from Tzara Argo. He says the following. He says, when a person is standing up to society, and if there's only 10 people, he has to stand up against and follow his convictions, it's a certain level of difficulty. There's a certain level of tzar that he has to go through in order to be mekayem that mitzvah. But if there's 100 people out there who are doing the opposite to what he's doing, his tzar, his difficulty in being mekayem the mitzvah is magnified tremendously. If a million people are not doing that, the tsar that he has to go through is unbelievable. Going against the flow, going against society is tremendously difficult. And I once heard of a study that was undertaken in the US. Is they put 25 children into a classroom. They put 25 children into a classroom, and they had the teacher go to the front of the classroom and drawing two lines on the whiteboard. So one was 20 centimeters long, one was 22 centimeters long. And they drew that onto the whiteboard. One line was shorter, and one line was obviously longer. And they turned around to the class, and they told the class, which line do you think is longer? Now, the only caveat here was, the only point here was, that 20 of the children in the class had been prepped in advance. They'd been told in advance to say that the 22 centimeter line was really the shorter line, and the 20 centimeter line was the longer. And as they went through the class, the teacher went round to the first child. Okay, so which one's longer? Well, obviously the bottom one, the 20 centimeter one, that's the long. And they went through one child, and another child, and another child, and another child, and through every single child. And then finally, the last five children, it was their turn. And they were asked, which line is longer? Which line is it, the 20 centimeter one? And without exception, without one single exception, every single child said that the shorter line was really longer, the longer one, the shorter. Every single child. Peer pressure is tremendously powerful. Society, pressure from society is very powerful. We're much more likely to do what everyone else is doing as opposed to doing what we think is correct. I once heard the Gevaldi Gevort. So David HaMelech was near there, he turned around to Shlomo and he told to him, he says, Hinnani hoylich b'derech kolorets, I'm about to go in the way of the rest of the world. And he turned around to Shlomo and he told him, V'chozakto v'tia le'ish, be strong and be a man. And I heard the Gevaldi Gevort, what David HaMelech was trying to give over to Shlomo, said, Shlomo, I want to tell you something. So for my whole entire life, I never ever did something because this is what everyone else was doing. I never ever did something because that is what society was telling me to do. Whatever I did was because I thought that it was the correct thing to do. Because I thought that this was what I was supposed to do as my Avodas Hashem. Now, I'm being hoylich b'derech kol ha'aretz for the first time in my life. I'm going to be nifter. Everyone else is nifter. That's the normal thing to do. That's the way of the rest of the world, the rest of the land. But you, Shlomo, v'chazakta v'tia le'ish. I'm giving you a message, v'chazakta v'tia le'ish. Be a man, be great. Don't do what everyone else is doing. Do what you think is right. Shevet Levi here, the from Tzara Agra, they tremendously went against society. They stood up and they did what they thought was right, despite the fact that everyone else was doing something different. Shevet Levi was like a tremendous char, like Yeshua and Kalev. And Yeshua and Kalev got the schar of all the other Meraglim due to the fact that the other Meraglim were more. And if there would have been more other Meraglim, if there would have been 20 Meraglim going against them, the schar would have been even more. Because they will get the schar of the people who made it more difficult for them to do the right thing. The more people out there who are stopping us from doing what we're supposed to be doing, the more people out there who are making it difficult for us, the more schar we will get. Not only will we get more schar, we will get the schar that would be standing to the people, that would be deserving to the people who are making it more difficult for us due to them, due to themselves. Gewaldig idea. The same applies actually to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, we know that Avraham Avinu notal schar keneged kol hadurias that came before him. Avraham Avinu, when he came and he discovered the Ribbono Shel, when he discovered the fact that the Ribbono Shel yesh ba'al labira, there's a Ribbono Shel in the world. We say Chazal tell us that he got schar keneged all the dorias that came before him. Why? It's very simple. It's because all those dorias contributed to the fact that it was more difficult for him to realize, to come to that hakara that he eventually did. And because he came to that hakara himself and went against the flow, he was noitel schar keneged all the doors that came before him. Tremendously, tremendously powerful. It's an incredible idea because it gives us such encouragement, such koyach, so much of a more of an encouragement to, despite the fact that we see people around us maybe doing something that we don't agree with, But it's just difficult to do the right thing. It's difficult to do what we want to do, because that's what everyone else is doing. But the schar that we would receive, if we are able to stand up and do the right thing, and do what we're supposed to do, is infinitely more than if just everyone else is doing the same as we are. The story prepared with there's a famous story with Chofetz Chaim. I'm gonna leave that out. I'm gonna move on to the next. I had a Givaldic story yesterday. Someone shared with me another story yesterday that I thought was pretty fresh. And besides the actual story that many of you might hear over the next few weeks, I've got a special edition at the end that I was privileged to hear directly from the author, which is not brought down where the actual story is. So the actual story is printed in, I think, in the Ami magazine of one of the coming weeks. But I have an addition to the story that you definitely haven't heard yet. So the actual story is a friend of mine, Yoeli Gold. So, a fellow approached him, a fellow called Chaim from America. A fellow approached him and told him that he's got an Amazon business. He's got an Amazon business. And Amazon businesses, as many might know, can be pretty volatile. It can be a very big opportunity, because you do not have to have your own warehouse to start off with. You can use Amazon warehousing. You do not even have to create your own website. You can use Amazon's platform in order to do business. It presents a huge opportunity. But at the same time, there can be some pretty big pitfalls along the way. This Chaim had an Amazon business, and he found out, unfortunately, the difficult way, the problems that Amazon could present. A few weeks ago, he had a stock of 70 iPads that he wanted to sell. Now, these iPads were priced at $400 each. And one evening, he took iPad pictures, uploaded them onto his Amazon account, ready to be sold, 70 iPads, and he put them in at $400 each, anticipating that they will sell slowly, steadily, as business usually goes. He placed the listing, $400 each, closed up for the night, went to sleep. The next morning, he came back into his office, and he goes onto his account, start for the day. And as he looks at the account, wow, that's amazing. He's never experienced this before. He says every single iPad, all 70 iPads had been sold overnight. He's never experienced that before. 70 iPads sold overnight, $400 each. A quick cheshbon, 70 times 400, $28,000 overnight. It's pretty good business. Nice margin in there, obviously, for himself. He says very unusual. Didn't make sense. And as he looks through his accounts, says in geworden schwarz van de ogen, he suddenly realized that instead of listing the 70 iPads for $400 each, he listed them with 10 missing. He listed them for $40 each. So he made another quick judgment. So instead of making $28,000, he'd made $2,800 instead. So not only did he not make his profit, he made a huge loss. Now, another quick thought. So they hadn't left the warehouse yet. So he could turn around to Amazon and said, I'm not honoring my deal. I'm not honoring this sale. It was a mistake. But Amazon has certain safeguards in place in order to make sure that people are careful with their listings and they don't make pricing mistakes like that. And if someone pulls a listing, then they will automatically be slapped with a fine from Amazon They won't be delisted, but there will be a fine for every item they pull. In this case, 70 items. It'll be a costly expense. And as well, besides that, 70 sales or 70 potential customers. Every customer that would be getting an email that their sale is being pulled due to a pricing mistake will be leaving feedback. And on a busy Amazon account, 70 negative feedbacks could be a death sentence. Very often a business owner would have to make $28,000, big loss to take, big hit to take, but sometimes it's worth it under the circumstances, part of the bigger picture, and that's the hit we have to take. So as he was sitting there contemplating his options, seeing what he can do, an email pings into his inbox. He looks at the email, it's from an account that he can't recognize. Never seen the email before. He looks at the sender, and the sender identifies himself as a Chaim from Lakewood. Sorry, a Yehuda from Lakewood. Chaim was a seller. Chaim is selling. Yehuda writes him an email, arrives in his inbox. Now, Yehuda writes him, says, "Hi Chaim, I am an Amazon seller like you. I sell iPads too. And I am always looking around at other sellers to see what they're up to. Last night I saw that you had posted iPads for $40. It was obviously a mistake. And from your name I realized that you were a fellow Yid. I didn't want you to lose so much money, so I bought all the iPads. I'll return them to you so you can post them again at the appropriate price." So you heard it from Lakewood and written, "Chaim, I bought all your stock and I want you to send it to me because Amazon has to ship it out in order for the sale to go through. I'll ship them back to you. You'll refund me the money." And Baruch Hashem, we're not waiting. We can't call you straight. What a gewaldige, gewaldige story. Chesed is unbelievable. It's tremendous. But and here comes the nice addition. So I'm connected with the Yoli Gold. And yesterday evening, he added on to the story the following. It says, "A few hours later, by the time the story had gone out," and I understand a few people here have seen the story already themselves, "so the story had been shared very widely yesterday afternoon. And it had gone out on many WhatsApp groups during the day. Now, one of the WhatsApp groups that's out there is a WhatsApp group in Lakewood, or in America, which is comprised of many hundreds of from Amazon sellers around the US. So there's one WhatsApp group with many Amazon sellers around the US, and they exchange ideas, they exchange good deals, they are all in touch with each other. Now this story was posted on that WhatsApp group. A tremendous story, they shared it with each other. Now, one of the members of this WhatsApp group was Yehuda from Lakewood. Yehuda from Lakewood was a member on that WhatsApp group, was one of the Amazon sellers. And Yehuda from Lakewood saw the story and he said, "I'm that Yehuda from Lakewood, I am the Baal HaStory. I'm the Baal HaStory." Now Chaim had still no idea who this Yehuda was. No idea. This Yehuda saw the story. He realized that he's the Baal HaMaisa. He's the Baal HaMaisa. He picked up a phone or he wrote to Yehuda God and he told him the following. He says, "Look, I'm the Yehuda from Lakewood. I want to introduce myself. I want to tell you how the story really happened from my perspective." Now, Yehuda asked him, he says, "Very nice, lovely to meet you, Givaldi. He says, "Would you be willing to come on camera and tell over the story to the Oedem? It's an inspirational story, it's Givaldi. Makes videos for them for Agudas Yisrael and other organizations. Would you be willing to come on camera?" And eventually he got back to him, said, "Not only am I willing to come on camera," says, "the rest of the WhatsApp group, these Lakewood Amazon sellers, or the US from Amazon sellers, they've decided that they would like to sponsor this video as a Kiddush Hashem to share among Klal Yisrael." So he will be coming on the videos, I'm assuming, over the next few months. Be'ezus Hashem, we'll see video coming out with all these people involved to reflect the story that took place this week.
I don't know.